Hi, it's Richard Loudon here for Set for Success, and welcome to the show. You know, I always like to start the show off with a Set for Success thought. The things that you must do in your business, I guess, to be successful, well, maybe your career and your life also, I think they're all joined together. What was your experience growing up? You know, I was raised in an entrepreneurial family, generational, in fact. My granddad was an entrepreneur. He used to provide goods and services to the local small community. I never really knew him, but I heard lots of stories. My dad was an entrepreneur. He opened a shoe store in the 1950s with his life savings, $800. And you know what? The banks even told him not to do it. They thought it was not a good idea for him to take the money out of his business, or I guess out of the bank in that respect. As a boy, I worked in the family business, and in the shoe and clothing business to be exact. I used to get a day off from school to go to the city in the small town where we lived to actually buy shoes and clothes from the wholesalers. And I used to do that with my dad, and that was the big city of St. John's, Newfoundland at the time. We'd have lots of fun. At a young age, I remembered unpacking and playing in boxes, helping stock shelves, sweeping floors, and sweeping a lot more floors. I once asked my dad where I came from, and he quickly said to me, "I found you in a shoe." Coming from a small town and working in a family business prepared me for life. At a very young age, I learned no matter what you're doing, you can always make a living. You can turn a dollar, make a buck. I remember my first official non-family summer job, Gale Supermarket. Well, it was a family business. I begged the owner for a summer job. I was 14. I used to bag groceries and bring them to the customers to their cars for tips. Yep, no hourly wage. I worked for tips. Mr. Gale believed that you needed to earn to keep your way. A tip was a way to do that. It taught you customer service. You had to do things to actually make sure you were taking care of your customers. That 2-month summer job led me to working for Tony and Ralph, a family fair foods in Waverly Heights, Winnipeg, Manitoba. Yes, a family business. I spent my high school years learning the food business from bagging groceries to the frozen foods and the meat and dairy and produce area. And yes, sweeping a lot of floors. Those were formative years in my life, in the case of my career life or my pre-career life. You see, from my dad to Mr. Gale to Tony and Ralph, I learned a lot of life lessons. Now, granted, I didn't realize it at the time. Who does? You know, hindsight's 20/20, and maybe there are times in your life you reflect a little bit more. So I would like to say this, hats off to the family business and the generations that have worked in them. You truly are the backbone of our society, providing many young women and men the opportunity to grow into their future lives, their preferred future, a path that starts with the experience of growing up in a family business. So today you can probably guess what I'm going to chat about, family business and generational experience, with our guests from Carlisle Printers, Service and Supply, Derek Johansson and Eric Johansson. They qualify as being family business people and generational entrepreneurs. Derek, Eric, welcome to the show.
Good to be here, Richard.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Fantastic. You know, I always like to start things off with a very simple question, and really it's more of a history question. You know, you're both here and everything, and what is the history of your entrepreneurial backgrounds in terms of a family business?
Well, I guess for us, we started the business in 2006, and I was just finishing off my university degree. So the business was started with myself, my mother, father, and my brother Scott at the time. So I would go to school 3 days a week to finish my business degree and would work in the family business for 2 days a week and just kind of grown it from there.
And that's Eric. Now, Derek, you had another business prior to Carlisle, didn't you? So it expands a little bit further back, doesn't it?
Well, you know, it's a similar story. We started in 1980 a business with my father and my mother and my aunt. It was called Carlisle Computer Products back then.
Okay.
And similar kind of story. We started in the basement of my dad's home and gradually grew that business to 7 locations across Western Canada, 130 employees, $30 million in revenue.
So what was the $30 million revenue? That's quite a significant growth and development of an organization. What was the transition between your businesses, what Eric talked about, into the one that you previously started?
Well, the Carlisle Computer Products business, we sold in 1997.
Okay.
And so really this, the start of the Carlisle Printer Service and Supplies in 2006 was really Eric and his brother Scott sort of graduating from business school and saying, you know, what kind of business could we get into?
Okay.
And that this was a business that, you know, I knew, but I just knew the supply side. So really it was the boys that kind of brought the expertise and the energy to get into the other two pieces, the printers and the service.
It's interesting you would say that because, Derek, I'm sitting here and I have to say you look like a baby boomer. Is that reasonable to say?
That's reasonable.
Reasonable to say. And Eric, you look like a millennium, generation Y. Like what generation are you from?
I believe I'd be millennial.
The millennium type generation, which I think Gen Y is sort of part of that and everything too. It's often said that the boomers sort of have the business savvy smarts, but the millennium people sort of know the tech side. Do you think that's a true statement?
Well, I think the tech side's getting more and more important and being able to streamline your workflows and streamline things at the office, as well as the way people approach the market and connect with their customers. You know, with Facebook, you know, LinkedIn, Twitter, just the way that you can connect directly with the clients is drastically changing over time.
Now, in terms of your business, so we'll just talk a little bit about the technology business first. So, I mean, we'll start it off that way, and then we'll slide into more about the family experience of being in business together. What kind of things are happening in your organization, I guess, growth-wise or changes or transition from a technology perspective?
You know, for us, you know, we're a very kind of mature business. Business has been around for a very long time, just in terms of print and printing equipment and printing supplies.
Yeah, solid infrastructure type business. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's traditional. So a lot of it is, you know, kind of almost goes back to how business has always been run. It's all about relationships. So, you know, we connect more on a person-to-person level more than kind of the broad strokes, which is the Twitter, the Facebooks. So our best clients out there are the ones that we know closely, have great relationships with. We know their families and can kind of deepen those relationships.
Now, the interesting thing you just said, you know their families. Well, there's a couple of things I want to pick on. One is relationships, but then you also said you know their families. Do you tend to serve a lot more family-type businesses? Does that tend to be a common client set for you?
Well, you know, the SME market is in this, you know, in the province of Manitoba is the biggest part of it. But we do right from Richardson International, managing 900 printers coast to coast, to right down to Moxie's restaurant, where we provide them with their paper rolls for cash registers and that type of stuff.
Cash registers and that kind of stuff. You know what? One of the things I'd like to talk about when we come back is the idea of relationships and the family business and what you do with those. So we're going to take a short break. Please stay tuned. This is Richard Land. We'll be right back. Hi, welcome back. You know, in our discussion today, we're talking to Derek Johansson and Eric Johansson, his son, and we've got him to admit that he would call himself a millennium or maybe Generation Y. Is that correct, Eric?
Yeah, I think that's what we'd be classified as.
Yeah, you know, I want to pick on you a little bit, only because, you know, it's fun to do.
All right.
There you go. So your dad understands that. I got a couple of boys too, right? Now, you know what? You were talking a little bit earlier about relationships, and I thought you made a mention of building relationships or creating relationships. And I guess my question is more, not so much in business, but where do you think you learned your relationships building skills that you apply today in the work that you're doing?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, probably where I built a lot of the relationships and the ability to build relationships was actually my father has been always part of different organizations throughout his career. One of them was YPO, Young Presidents Organization.
Excellent organization.
And so we would do these trips to these different locations, and it would be just, you know, the parents would go and they'd have their time together, and the kids would be literally thrown into a room and need to make friends with each other. So, you know, as I grew up, I was constantly put in these situations where you just have to kind of build relationships from scratch, where you didn't know anybody and you had to, right?
Yeah, you had to.
And then, you know, those kind of things, you just get better at with more practice.
More practice. Now, Derek, just because Eric mentioned YPO, could you just tell our listeners a little bit of what YPO is?
Yeah, the Young Presidents Organization, you get the kind of invited to join. You have to have a business that does at least $10 million in sales. You have to have at least 50 employees. So you get sort of sponsored in, but it's a global organization. There's about 50 members in Manitoba. You have to be under 45 to join, and at age 50, they kick you out of that organization into a graduate organization called WPO, the World Presence Organization.
Okay.
So I'm in the World Presence Organization.
So we can honestly say you've been kicked out of something, but into something new.
Exactly.
Are you, Eric, are you part of YPO?
No. So YPO is for business with 10 million in revenue and greater. So yeah. I've joined EO, which is Entrepreneurs Organization. So yes. a similar type organization, except that you need to be a part owner in order to be a member, and you need greater than a million in revenue.
Yeah.
So that's been phenomenal for me. It's been a great opportunity to learn and to connect with other business owners. And they have a forum group where once a month you get together with eight other business owners to talk through issues, you know, with people that also understand the particular situations of business owners.
Now, one of the things we've been talking about today, and especially with my opening, was about family business, family enterprise, and generations. What do you guys think are some of the challenges, or at least a challenge or two, in terms of being in a family business and working together, father and son, right?
I think the greatest challenge is dividing the roles, kind of who's going to do what, and having enough, giving everybody enough opportunity to get some satisfaction, feeling that they're contributing, but not meddling in the other person's responsibilities. And so, as a small company, it's quite challenging because there's everyone's doing everything. But at this point, we have 30 employees, and we've got now a layer of managers. So now we're, and it's much easier today to sort of divide up who does what in the organization.
So you're delegating a lot more because you put some structure in place. Is that a reasonable statement to make?
Yeah, absolutely. But, so in our case, I kind of take care of the logistics department, purchasing, finance, and Eric takes care of the sales department, the service department, and the administration.
And the administration. Do you find that a very strong – does that play to your strengths, Eric?
Yeah, I enjoy kind of handling all of those roles. The sales is great. I love sales because, again, it's all about building relationships, yeah. I remember one client, she was talking to me about she couldn't believe her daughter was turning 13. She was going to have a teenager. And I was talking to her a month ago, and her daughter was just graduating from high school. Building those relationships over time are great. And then the operations side of the business is fantastic because it just gives me that opportunity to learn a little bit more discipline in regards to process, which is what it's all about.
Yeah, and process is so important today, actually, in terms of leaning out businesses and making sure they can be efficient and effective. Have you guys, let's just sort of think about this for a second. In terms of just some of the growth and everything, I know that from an entrepreneurial perspective, you've been doing a few things for a while. Are there any major changes or anything coming up in your organization that you might be able to speak to?
Well, just on March 15th, we purchased Canon Canada's Winnipeg operation. So that was a major change for us. So now when Canon Canada nationally sells the Bank of Montreal or a national account, all of that business that happens in Manitoba comes to Carlisle. So from that date, we've added six new positions in our organization. We just hired two more salespeople. We're on the market right now for a telemarketing person. So it's really growing.
So there's that opportunity and everything, growth. One of the questions I didn't ask before, and I know we were talking, and we're moving around a little bit, and we're talking sort of all over the place, but we were talking about generational. I never quite picked up was your parents, Derek, were they entrepreneurs also? Did you get that? Where did you get your entrepreneurial connection that you've now handed on to your kids?
Yeah, I think that, it really starts with those first few jobs. In your introduction, you talked about working in those grocery industries. My first job was a newspaper route, and then I worked for Safeway bagging groceries.
Bagging groceries.
Made that con, the courtesy boy, but I didn't do it for tips.
I had the hustle. I had 2 months of hustling, and then Tony and Ralph saved me.
But I think it's that spirit of, working hard and making money that sort of, pops the seed, yes. And once you start doing that. And really, again, it was my father that, at age 52, that called me at that time. I was working for Procter & Gamble in Toronto and said, what do you think of getting into business? And I moved back from Toronto, tricked my wife Mary to move back to Winnipeg. And, in 1981, really started to build Carlisle Computer Products, which turned out to be a great success. But, working hand in hand with both my mother and my father was a very interesting journey.
Very interesting journey. I always like that generational piece, right? I mean, because now we're talking about three generations. I understand you have another son by the name of Scott, and he's an entrepreneur, but he's doing his own thing. Can you briefly tell us about that?
Yes. 2 years ago, Scott got his first Tim Hortons franchise. So he owns the Tim Hortons out in Oak Bank. And they've just announced that he'll have a second store that's just being built right now in Beausejour.
Okay.
So Scott has four kids, and his strategy was to to grow his employee base internally.
Expand the family. Yeah. You know, I think I came from one of those families too, right? Good, large, in this case, Catholic family. But yeah, you always had an employee base because we all went through the mill.
Yeah, exactly.
We all worked and everything. There's no doubt that is one way to actually advance yourself in your business. You know, this is such an interesting topic. And I know there's some other things that you guys have been working on that. And so, for example, Derek, I'm aware that you've written a manuscript to a book, The Three Pillars. What's the name of the title?
The Pillars of Sales Champions.
The Pillars of Sales Champions. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk to the Johansons about the Pillars of Sales. It's Richard Lannan for Set for Success in Your Business, Career, and Life. You know, being successful, there's many winning approaches to do this. And today we're talking about it from the perspective of a family business, family entrepreneurs, and being generational. From your grandparents to you, I guess the parent, to your kids being involved in many ways. And if we go that route, that's like three generations. So that's a lot of information. Now, the people sharing today is Eric Johansson and Derek Johansson. Almost a cruel joke, Eric and Derek, but Eric Johansson and Derek Johansson of Carlisle Printers. And they're sharing their story and journey along the way in terms of how they've developed their business and how their family's gotten involved, even if they've approached other things in business. We're also going to do the Set for Success tips, tricks, thoughts, and those kind of things when we get into that segment. But when we come back, we're going to talk to Derek Johansson about his new book that's coming out. And the new book is The Three Pillars of Sales Champions. This is Richard Lannan. We'll be right back. Hey, if you've been listening to today's show, you know we have Derek Johansson and Eric Johansson joining us, and we've been talking about the family business enterprise. We've also been talking about the generational and aspect of family enterprise. But just before we went on break in that, we were talking a little bit about Derek, about his new book. Now, it's in manuscript form, and I believe the appropriate title, Derek, what is the appropriate title on your book?
Well, the working title right now is Three Pillars. The Three Pillars of Sales Champions.
The Three Pillars of Sales Champions. I always love it when I have a guest that has a manuscript because, quite honestly, to get, I don't know, 50,000 words, I don't know how many words it is, but that is quite a major accomplishment.
Yeah, well, the credit really has to go to Sheldon Bowles, who is really the lead writer on our book. Sheldon and I have been friends for many years. And he is the author of a best-selling New York best-selling books, Raving Fans, Gung Ho, High Five. And he really approached me as I was talking to him. I have a book inside me, and he'd been coaching me through the process. And eventually we got to the spot. He says, why don't we do one together?
Oh, right on. So it's a shared sort of authorship and that kind of thing. Now, I guess we can already sort of guess what the book is about in terms of the working title, because it has to have something to do with sales champions. And I love champions, well, as business champion, life champion, et cetera. But what can you tell us about the book?
Yeah. Well, the format that Sheldon writes in is parables. So it's a parable story. It's a 120-page book, easy to read. But the principles that we share are that sort of the foundations. And I think the working title of Pillars is right on. It's you need these three things if you want to be successful as salespeople.
Now, if I have the right character here, Luke. Luke's the man, isn't he?
Yes.
He is. And so I think the book itself actually takes the journey of Luke through the sales process. Is that appropriate to say? What can you tell about this? Tell us about this character that might intrigue our listeners.
Well, I think Luke is a great profile of the person that thinks he's a great salesman, wants to be a good salesman, but just can't quite get it, can't quite get there. And the book sort of positions him as a used car salesperson that's really coming to the end of his guarantee. You know, at a point you go past the guarantee or the draw, and you're going to go to 100% commission. And he comes upon a great guy that will take him through this process of learning the three pillars of sales that will lead him to be a very successful salesperson.
So he found his shepherd. Do I have the right word? Am I using that right word? No, I'm not. Am I? God. Now my wife is at home laughing at me because she knows what I'm like. Okay. Anyway, sorry, go ahead. He finds his guide.
Yeah. Kind of the mentor.
A mentor, et cetera. I was going to do a little joke on he didn't buy the extended warranty, did he? But I missed that opportunity. Don't you think so, Eric? I missed that one. Now, as I was going through your book, I noticed that there was three pillars that you talked about, and one was pride, one was process, and one was perspective. Could you tell us a little bit about those?
Well, pride is, the first step of, you have to, if you're going to be successful selling something, there has to be purpose behind it. So it really is about identifying why are you selling this. It can't be just about the product. You've got to be able to view it as something that you're looking to truly help the person that's going to receive it.
Yeah, I like the automobile example. First of all, I have also been in a family automobile business too. So I got quite a background. So you go back to our earlier story. But I always equated, I remember my brother saying to me, he says, if you're going to sell something, you got to really like what you're selling and believe in it. So, you need to test drive it, or you need to have a dealer vehicle, so to speak. And so part of having that is having the product that you believe in, so you have pride in it to sell. Is that a good analogy?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, one of the other ones is process. You talked about process in your book.
Yeah. So process is now I've got something of value, but so how do I organize myself? How do I reach out to my prospective clients? How do I continue to follow up with them? How do I present to them? All of the elements of the actual sales process doesn't really happen when you're face-to-face. It's the preparation and creating a consistent process that's going to turn around and deliver successful sales.
Yeah, and a lot of times the most successful things we do in business or in life, we, whether we believe it or not, everyday living, get up in the morning, make yourself breakfast, get the kids to school, we apply a process to it.
Exactly.
And so it's a very common thing. So process is something that we should all probably engage in. Perspective, what about perspective?
The perspective pillar is my favorite one because we sort of take the person through the process of understanding that you're going to fail. And the line that we use is, you're going to fail, so get over it.
Yeah.
And it is this process of, don't be afraid of failure. When you make a mistake, spend a moment to look back, figure out what you can learn from it, but then keep on moving.
There's this really cool thing that you wrote in your book too. It says, only the committed shall succeed and all others shall fail. That's the comment you're doing, talking about. And you also talk about committed winners sign all RANs, miss this chance. So I'm not too sure exactly what that was in that respect. But there's a couple of quotes in there. Don't worry about it. They're there. They're there. I'm curious about the secret society. I thought that was really cool. Can you speak to that at all? Like listeners, you got to check this out. There's like this whole secret society that happens in this book. So I'm not too sure if I fully understand it. But
The original process is that, there is to get people engaged in the early part of the book, we position the mentor as someone that has been passing down the secrets of selling.
Yes.
From generation to generation. It's gone back to the beginning of civilization. And so there is a point in the first 20 pages where we actually ask the customer or the reader to actually sign a document, sign right in the book, their commitment to learn the secrets of selling and to use them effectively and pass them on to other people.
Would it be inappropriate for me to ask if Luke's made that signature? Is that sort of giving it away?
No, that's giving it away. Maybe it is. Read the book.
Read the book. You'll find out if he signs the papers.
Exactly.
You got to sort of find that out overall. I know I'm picking on your book a little bit and everything. Like I said, I had the opportunity to read it, and I love parables. I think when you can tell a story, it takes the reader on a journey, and they learn so much more, become such an enriching experience. What else could you tell us about the actual manuscript in the book? Maybe this is the question. When do you expect it to actually have it out in print?
So Sheldon is really the key piece in this. He's written 5 books and really already has all the people in place. So the next phase for us, now that we've sent the manuscript out to get some feedback from key people, the next step is it goes to the agent, who will then take it to the publisher, which Sheldon has used in the past, Morrow in New York. And the next step is they edit it.
Okay.
They'll get it back to us. And once we get to a final manuscript, then It's out in the bookstore.
It's out in the bookstore. I mean, it's amazing what the process is actually to get a book done. You know?
Yeah.
So that's why I love to celebrate and any kind of manuscript or anybody. So congratulations to getting to a manuscript. If I had a song, I'd sing it for you. But unfortunately, maybe I could say manuscript. Fantastic. got the paper inked and everything along those lines. You know, Eric, I'm curious as to if you actually had any input into this book whatsoever.
You know, actually, Derek and Sheldon wrote this one on their own. I've read it, and I loved it, and I think there's a lot of great tidbits in that, but that was their own magic creation.
That's their own magic. You know what? We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll do the Set for Success thoughts, the things you must do in your business to be successful, hey, or your career or your life. Hey, if you're just tuning in, you know that we've been talking to Derek Johansson and Eric Johansson of Carlisle Printers. And this is a segment where you usually do the Set for Success tips, thoughts, tricks, whatever you want to call it. And I always like to set it up. Now, our topic today has been sort of a combination of technology / family business and generation. Well, really more generation and family business type things. And I always like to turn this segment over to my guests because you know what? They're just full of so much information that they can share with you, the listener. In this case here, I'll turn it over to Eric first. You know, Eric being the younger guy of the Johansson family, or one of the younger ones. I don't know who's older, your brother Scott or you, Eric.
No, I'm the youngest.
You're the youngest.
Hey,
all right, high five. High five on air. I understand that. I was the youngest of six, and, you know, so everything rolled downhill in my family, and I learned lots.
Good.
You know. Listen, Eric, what would be one of your tips that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, you know, I would probably say my tip would be the focus on your team that you're creating. You know, we've enjoyed a lot of success at Carlisle, probably been growing for the last 9 years at about 15-30% per year. And, you know, some of that credit goes to myself and Derek and Mary, my mother, that's also part of the business. But a lot of it really goes towards our team. You know, like we've got set up where we've got four team leaders for each of the main divisions of our company, and then they run a staff as well. And those are really the people that are helping us drive the company. And I think people can oftentimes business look always externally, right? Looking at the marketing, the business, the products, those types of things, and forget about the internal portion of it, which is your team, which is, you know, if you've got happy staff, that you're going to have happy customers. So our biggest thing is making sure that the team's happy and spending just as much time internally on the team as externally on other components of the business.
Of course, business. That makes a lot of sense. Derek, I'm going to throw it over to you. I mean, you're the more senior, obviously, and you've been doing this for a while, a lot of experience. What would you say one of the things are that, one of the tips or thoughts that you could share?
Yeah, my thought would be focus on communication.
Okay.
You know, within the company, within the individuals, it really, you can't get your message across enough.
Yeah.
So,
what are some of the methods that your organization uses to actually focus on communications?
Well, one kind of unique thing, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we have a full town hall meeting. So every member of the staff goes into the lunchroom, we line the outside of the lunchroom, and everybody goes around and has sort of a 15-second opportunity to give a shout-out to another staff member, to say one thing in particular that they're working on. Usually Mondays, we ask them to provide us with their weekend highlight. So we try to make it, you know, fun, personal, business, and sort of encouragement amongst each other.
When you say weekend highlight, fun, personal, and business, you're talking about something they did on the weekend in their own personal lives?
Exactly.
What are some of the unique things that maybe some of your staff members have shared? Can you think of one offhand?
Well, it's sometimes not just the unique things. It's just getting to know them a little bit more on a personal level, right?
Yes.
Getting to know that somebody really likes gardening or they're really into, you know, watching movies on the weekend, right? Just knowing kind of what drives people outside of work is really invaluable, and it kind of can drive connections between the staff as well if somebody else has a shared passion.
Yeah. I also like that one where you share, you call it a shout out, where it's, and I used to do it years ago with one of my team that I built years ago in another company that I had, where we call it appreciation. I appreciate somebody for the following. And it was always interesting what people would share within their organization or about their team members and things you'd find out about that you never knew that the other team member did for them. Always amazing. People surprise you. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Eric, you know, I'm going to throw one back to you, and I'm going to sort of set this up a little bit because we've been talking about family business, and now that you've told me that you're the youngest member in the family, I'm really going to ask you, in terms of just your own experience, maybe there's a tip for you could share with somebody that's a younger member of the family who's part of a family business, and it just would really help them along in some way, shape, or form.
I would feel that probably finding your niche early on was important. You know, at the beginning, I really enjoyed the sales portion of that, found that as my niche, and could kind of get into that and make that my own. I think if you try to be everything to everybody, you're not going to find as much success as if you find something that you can really thrive in, really enjoy, and carry on. And that's kind of the portion that you can deliver back to the family is your value.
Is your sort of the value added. Another way, my dad used to always say, you know, play to your strengths and hire your weakness.
Yeah.
A great lesson learned, right? I think if you sort of think about it, or leverage your strengths and hire your weakness, at least get rid of your weakness in some way, shape, or form. Derek, out of curiosity, since Eric is sort of saying sales is his sort of strength, I'm curious as to what you see your strength at this point in time. Maybe you can give us a little generational strength too.
Yeah. I think at this stage of being in family businesses for 30 years, what I hope I bring to the relationship and to our business is, you know, sort of insights of what are some of the pitfalls that might be out there ahead of us. So I like to kind of consider myself a bit of the visionary of these are the things that we need to be aware of, and also just confirm that there's collaboration. Now, Eric brings up such a great point about the role of our team leaders. That's even part of our terminology. We don't call them managers. We call them team leaders because they're managing their own teams. But, you know, the collaboration of having dialogue with individual staffs, with teams. Every team has a meeting once a week to just make sure that those ideas are bubbling up. And I think that's a bit of the role that I want to bring to the organization to make sure that those kinds of things kind of continue to evolve and become a more and more powerful piece of our success.
No, your success. Now, out of curiosity, I mean, since we're talking about family business, and I didn't ask this before, but Eric, you mentioned that your mom works in the business. I think that's absolutely wonderful. Do you have other family members that are working in the business too? Like, no cousins, no second cousins, third cousins sort of hiding around the corner somewhere?
I have a daughter that's a year and a half, so we're grooming her to be a copier salesperson.
I'm sure technology will change by then, too, especially where a lot of printers and copiers are going. Start them when they're young. I think that's really important. It is actually very key. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you regarding your organization or your book, how would they go about doing that?
Well, to get a hold of our organization, our website is carlislepss.com. If you're interested in working in our organization, just send an email to info@carlislepss.com.
Okay.
Just get a hold of Richard's website.
Oh, yeah, you put it right back on me. Thanks a lot. Any final thoughts? Let's see if we can get sort of a final thought here. And Eric, do you have a final thought for us?
No, like just in overall, like I really enjoy family business. I think one of the strengths that we have with myself and Derek is the ability to work together as a team. And, you know, no one person is driving the ship, but we're kind of both rowing in the same direction. It's been a phenomenal experience for me.
And I think probably key to that is rowing in the same direction. That's probably really key for the family business. You're listening to Richard Landon for Set for Success, and we've been talking to Eric Johansson and Derek Johansson of Carlisle Printers about family business and the generational in the workforce or generation in the workforce in the family business. We'll be right back. And for Set for Success. Hi, it's Richard Land for Set for Success. We've been talking about what you can do in business, your career, and your life to be successful. And our topic today has been quite fascinating indeed. It's been all around family business or the family business and growth of the family business and longevity of the family business and the generation overall. And we even had the opportunity to talk a bit about the baby boomer versus the millennium, the Generation X, and what kind of things would be important to them in their business. So an incredible amount of information that we actually went through. And if you think about it for a while, what is it that takes you or gets you to be successful in your business or in your career and in your life? You know, we often hear the baby boomer generation sort of wondering about the millennium generation and what they're all about. But if you listen to what's going on, I think maybe some of the things that are happening in these businesses or in these careers is that people are still moving ahead. The baby boomers maybe are getting set to actually start start to move on a little bit. And the generation Y and the generation millennium generation are starting the process of actually getting into the groove, you know, into the groove of their particular business situation, you know. And so just think about that a little bit. Now, think about some of the things we learned today. We learned a lot about the sales process, the pillars of sales, the three pillars of sales, and the sales champion, very important, the importance of actually creating relationships in your business. How about this one? Maybe sort of going for a relationship, but building up on your teams and finding ways for your teams or the people that work for you to get to know each other on a very personal level. So all really good stuff. And there are many ways to do that. Just affirmations or getting people to say, hey, you know what, Eric, you're a good guy. And this is why I think you're a good guy. Sorry, Eric. And Derek, I've gotten to know you in business. And I know that you share immensely with a lot of people in business. So think about that for a moment. So listen, I want to take this opportunity to thank our guests, Eric Johansson and Derek Johansson of Carlisle Printers, for joining us today. Obviously, our listeners for joining us today. I always love it when you tune in. If you want to get in touch with me, love to hear your feedback. It's richardland@braveworld.ca. Also, as usual, I always like to say, you make it a great day.